Hey, it's good to see you here today, the faithful few. And that's what the Lord desires from us, is to be faithful and true. And so it's good to gather in this sanctuary on this Sabbath day and worship the great King and Sovereign of the universe, who loves us so greatly that He gave us His only begotten Son. And so we have been enjoying the Christmas season, reflecting upon the great I Am descending to our world through the incarnation. And as Leslie said earlier, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us is more than just that on the cross, just to be born on earth. One who was spirit from eternity, taking on the limitations of human flesh. Can we say it? Almost the corruption of human flesh and our fallen condition. And so I'll tell you what, we have so much to praise God for, don't we? And all that He has done to make it possible for us to be redeemed and to enjoy the glories of heaven someday soon. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. So I hope that all has been well with each of you since we last met together. Hope you're staying healthy and strong physically as well as spiritually, and staying upbeat and positive in spite of all the negative things that have been transpiring around us. Remembering the words of Jesus there in John 16:33, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so as Christian believers, we can keep a smile on our face in spite of all the troubles that may come our way, as Leslie was teaching today, as the Lord weaves that garment of heaven every day of our lives. Well, now that the Christmas has come and gone, only one day away, of course, but we look forward to a new year coming up this week. On Friday, we'll enter into 2021. And, you know, as this old year comes to an end, how will it go down in history? It's been a rough one. It's been a tough one. And, you know, as we think about the fires we've had in the nation, we've had floods in the nation, we've had 30 hurricanes, as I understand it, we've had earthquakes, we've had volcanoes going off, and violence of all kind, political unrest, and, of course, this pandemic that has made so many people sick and has taken the lives of so many people. What a year, I'll tell you what. It's been rough and tough, and it seems to me from what I'm hearing, the new year is going to have more of the same to start with anyway. And so we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, there's a... Let me ask this question. Can a bad year, as we might describe 2020. You know, it was supposed to be a year of perfect vision. 2020, right? Didn't turn out to be that way at all, unfortunately. Shouldn't laugh about it, I guess. But anyway, supposed to be a perfect year, and yet it went down with all of these bad things I just mentioned. But can a bad year really be a good year, too? Well, you know, there's a statement made in the Bible in Psalm 65, verse 11. And I'd like to read it to you, put together from two separate translations. The first part of it out of the New King James Version and the last part of it out of the New Living Translation. So that it goes like this. And again, this is Psalm 65, verse 11. "You crown the year with your goodness. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." So, you know, even though we can look back and see all the terrible things that have transpired, yet God has been with us. God has blessed us. And so we have to remember those positive, good things, you know, that the Lord has seen to continue our existence. Here we are today, and has made it possible for us in every way. as we kind of look forward now to this new year coming in, there's a story in the Bible that I would have us reflect upon, so that we can enter this new year with the Lord on our side and directing us. And so the story that I want to direct us to in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 13. And this is a story in the life of Abram before his name was changed to Abraham. And we're gonna look through this chapter here and see what the Lord did for him. And we can realize that God will do the same for us as we follow His way and His will and hear His voice and respond to it. So Abram had been down in Egypt. And you know, it's kind of interesting, him going to Egypt. This early experience is paralleled later by the whole history of Israel. They get down into Egypt too. And the Lord poured out plagues on Egypt because of Pharaoh taking Sarai. And later we know 10 plagues came upon them. And the people were shooed out of Egypt like Abraham. But Abraham doesn't leave empty-handed. He goes out rich. And so did the children of Israel. So it's quite a parallel between Abraham's early experience there and later on their history. So let's read verse 1 here of our chapter. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. It's kind of interesting here that no doubt, in a way, God is testing his patriarch, because he had left Ur of the Chaldeans to make his way to this land that the Lord would direct him to, that would ultimately call the promised land. And he hardly gets there before conditions turn sour, and he has to go down into Egypt to survive. And don't you know that even though no doubt God had his purpose and plan in this, we also see the great controversy at work here. The devil is trying to discourage our patriarch and trying to deprive him of the blessings that God wanted to bestow upon him. And so we have an opportunity where Abraham again had to express faith in God and submit himself to the Lord and trust and be patient. You know, that's something the Lord wants us to know as we move toward this new year. We got to move into it with faith and trust and patience. Endure whatever happens, because you know what? As Leslie said earlier, Jesus is coming soon. And I believe sooner than any of us can expect. I think that, you know, in spite of all the signs that Jesus gave us to watch for, and we see those signs fulfilling, but to me the biggest sign is this pandemic, in the sense that Satan is trying to take out as many people as he possibly can. Revelation says he's come down with great wrath. knowing that his time is short, and he has accomplished, in my language, a masterful stroke, putting millions of people into Christless graves, and then disrupting the churches like he's done. He must be standing back somewhere laughing his head off, you know. But obviously he's forgotten a verse of scripture, Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, you know. But we've all been warned through the Bible and the pen of inspiration that there would be a testing time coming. There would be a shaking time coming. And, I think all we can say about this pandemic and things that's happened, like Jesus said, it's beginning of woes. What else is the devil going to throw at us before we get to the end of things? Prophecy has to be fulfilled. And according to prophecy, there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was. But God has given us a promise. In Luke 21, verse 36, watch and pray that you may be worthy to escape all these things and to be able to stand before the Son of God. You know, Revelation chapter 6, very last verses, talks about Jesus coming, how the sky is going to roll up like a scroll, and the wicked are going to crawl for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And it ends with a question, and who shall be able to stand? Well, Jesus gave the answer in our verse, Luke 21:36. Watch and pray that you may be worthy to escape. So you know what, dear brothers and sisters, if there was ever a time we need to be praying, I mean, we know we should be praying without ceasing, according to the words of Paul. But boy, now's the time to pray, isn't it? Watch and pray, Jesus, so that you can be worthy to escape. So anyway, we know that the Lord always tests his people to see if they will really conform to his will, if they will be immovable in their relationship and their faith in him. So I just encourage us to hang in there. Thank you for being faithful, coming to church each Sabbath in spite of having to wear masks and do social distancing and all these things. But it's a test to see if we will be faithful and true to God. There's a statement made in the Bible, if you can't contend with the footman, how are you going to deal with the horseman? You know, obviously it's going to get worse before it gets better. And so if we can't stand it now, how are we going to stand it later? So be of good cheer, Jesus said, you know, just hang in there, be patient and faithful like Abram was here in our chapter, even though he had to go to Egypt for a while, and the devil could have used that experience to distract him and disappoint him. He didn't let it affect him that way. And so here he is headed back toward the promised land. It's kind of interesting here. It says that he's in Egypt, but he's going to go south. actually what it's saying there is that he's going to go into the southern part of Palestine. You know, he's going to go into the... Because if he went south from where he was, he'd just keep going through Africa. But he's going to go back up into the southern part, into that Sinai region type area there. So he's actually going to go northward, and some of the newer translations will put it that way. Anyway, we have that. Now let's look at verse 2. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. God had marvelously prospered. And you know, wealth in those days were counted much more in the number of livestock you had as gold and silver. But God had greatly prospered him. And no doubt when it talks about gold, he must have got some out of his time there in Egypt, because Egypt was loaded with gold. When you think of all those pharaohs that were entombed with all the gold surrounding them. But you know what has the Lord promised us? That he will open the windows of heaven, pour us out such a blessing, it won't be room enough to receive it. And, you know, I certainly feel wonderfully blessed and give thanks to God that, you know, you listen to the news of all the people who have lost their jobs and are struggling to keep food on the table. Way thousands of dollars behind in rent and other bills like that that come, whether you have a job or not. These things pour in on you, you know. And you feel for these people, you know. And but the Lord has blessed my family and I through this time of economic. I've continued to have a job, and both my sons have had jobs, and the Lord has just really blessed us and prospered us, you know. And you know, he said that our bread and water would be sure, and we can count on it as we move on into this new year, whatever it may bring. Now, moving on here to verses 3 and 4, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel. Even though he's going south, he's going north. He's going to the southern part of Palestine. As he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So what we're seeing there is that as Abram left Egypt to return to Canaan, he does so in what we might call short trips. And, you know, it's the same way with you and me in our pilgrimage through this world. We go through step by step, don't we? Little by little. It's not one big jump or one big leap, but we grow spiritually, as Peter directs in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace. And so we move forth little by little. And, you know, Abraham was eager to get home. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. Home, sweet home. So, you know, what made Canaan home to Abraham was the fact that's where God led him. That's where God was with him, where he had built an altar, you know, to worship God and to praise him and to sacrifice to him. So we know that heaven is our home, like we heard a while ago in the back of the bulletin there. Heaven is our home. We're homeward bound. And we make our journey step by step, little by little, but always reflecting on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18. By beholding, we become changed. Glory to glory. Then verses 5 through 7. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So again, the covenant blessings that God had given to Abram are being fulfilled here. And his nephew Lot has also been blessed of the Lord. And you know, as was brought out during the Sabbath school lesson, you know what? Our biggest problem is the way we think, you know. It's our mindset. And so you would think that Lot would have put two and two together, that he was being prospered because of his relationship with Abram. That the blessings God brought upon Abram was coming on to all the family. You would have thought that situation. He should have thought through that. We kind of know what's going to happen here. They're going to separate. Once again, the great controversy here, the old devil is bringing about strife, bringing about conflict, turmoil, and they sowed discord in the home and the family. And you know what? As I said earlier, the devil's done this year with congregation after congregation, hasn't he? He's brought in separation, schisms. The devil knows the truth of Scripture, Psalm 133, where it's good for brethren to abide together in unity. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The devil knows those things. And again, he likes to throw a rock into the situation. Problem behind most conflicts is selfishness. Someone is being selfish. And we certainly see that here in this situation as we go on here. Let's look verses 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. Wouldn't it be nice if this situation here could be repeated among the Jews and Arabs today, if there could be a peaceful solution, as Abram offers the situation to there. There can't be any peace without a peacemaker. In our Christmas story, going back to Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he's the one that has brought peace between the Gentiles and the Jews, you might say, and peace everywhere. So you can't really placate peace without being willing to humble yourself and to submit yourself and to be generous. And we see these characters exemplified with Abraham. He steps forth to resolve this situation, and he doesn't wait for Lot to come up with some solution. He himself explains what needs to happen, maybe, for them to continue to get along. My mother always told me growing up, that two families can't dwell in the same house. There's going to be conflict somehow, some way, Abram suggests that, that they want to stay together peacefully, if that means that they must move apart a little bit, so they don't rub shoulders together too much. So Abram takes the lead here and makes this suggestion about how they might resolve this. He says here, Abram says here in verse 8, we be brethren. We all need to recognize that, don't we? That all of us are brothers and sisters together in the Lord. And we should strive for peace between us and not conflict, and love each other. I mean, that nobody's going to get into heaven if they don't have a heart of love. Jesus said we got to love one another as he has loved us. What a measure of love. We need to work together harmoniously and in unity and be of one accord, that nothing might hinder the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Don't you think that's what the devil's afraid of today? The promise of the latter rain, that God is going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, it says there in Joel chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit is going to move mightily to finish God's work on earth. And we understand that the latter rain is going to be even greater than the early rain at Pentecost. And the devil's trying to prevent that by creating this situation of separation and schism. All right, so verses 10 to 13, as we move on through the chapter here. Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord was that area, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. You know, dear brother, dear sister, I can't help but believe a lot of the problems our nation is seeing is because of the practices that are going on today, like in Sodom and Gomorrah of old. God was so upset with that situation that he burned a hole in the ground deeper than anywhere else. You know, the southern part of the Dead Sea there is the deepest area on the earth, below sea level, you know. And we ought to take a lesson from that, don't you think? Man, I tell you, it hurts me so much when you hear a man talk about another man being his wife. That just sickens me. I don't know how it affects you, but it just troubles my soul deeply, you know. And, enough said, I guess. But anyway, Lot, given the first chance to choose, chose the best land for himself, did he not? Without giving thought to the problems that's lying ahead for him. Where is he? He's taking the best land, but in the best land is the greatest wickedness. You know, there's a statement, if I remember right, I believe it's found in the Spirit of Prophecy. Can't quote right off the top of my head. But that Satan loves all the beautiful places on earth. You ever come across that? He loves all the beautiful places on the earth. And he takes them for himself, you know. And so here was the most beautiful part of the territory, the well-watered Jordan Valley. And yet, what was located there? These extraordinarily wicked sinners. And not only the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, even though God is going to be merciful, but the Canaanites. God gave them, 400 years of probation. Before he released the Israelites to go in and kill man, woman, and child, you know. So I don't know what they were doing, exactly that was so offensive to God, but like with the flood, he was going to root them out totally, you know. But anyway, so he chooses the best part, but he doesn't give any thought about how it's going to affect him in the future. He's going to lose his family over this situation, being selfish and self-centered. Instead of wanting to share some of it with his uncle, he wants to take it all for himself. And you know what? We live in a very greedy world today. Me world, you know. They don't make any bones about it. It's all about me. Nothing about you. Greed and selfishness and self-centeredness. I mean, it is everywhere. And I think the Lord is judging that today. Why there's so many natural calamities. Ellen White talked about the flood in Johnstown way back when, and the fires that were in the, San Francisco, Chicago, some of those areas, you know. Said that already that was droplets coming out of the cup of God's wrath. She could say that then, what would she say today, you know? The Lord, I tell you what, if anybody's lost, they have nobody to blame but themselves. Because God has done everything in his power to warn people and to woo people. That's his greatest desire, is to woo people to him. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But for those who refuse his wooing, he warns them of what lies ahead. So So what happened to Abram as a result of this choice that Lot makes, taking the best land for himself? Looking at verses 14 to 16 now. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered." I love the Lord's words here. Lift up your eyes. You know, this situation could have proven disastrous for Abram. You know, with Lot taking the best of the land, what does that leave him? Obviously not the best. But the Lord says, lift up your eyes. Look and see. Though Lot has made his choice, all of it belongs to you and your descendants. Kind of reminds me, you know, of Psalm 121, lift up your eyes into the hills. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He does not slumber nor sleep. And so, you know, in this new year coming, even though it may begin still in the way we've been seeing it happen here, lift up your eyes. There's still a God who's in control of this world. And more than that, he's in control of your life and mine, if we allow him to be. We cooperate with him. All the Lord would have us do is just keep looking up to him. And then look with me at verse 17 here in our chapter. We about pursued it all. "Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." You know, we could paraphrase that a little bit. The Lord is saying to Abram, don't worry. Occupy till I come. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. Keep moving upward. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything turn your eyes elsewhere. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. And he's going to see us through. Walk with, he says. Let's walk together through the land. 1 John 2:6 says we ought to walk as Jesus walked. And do what you know to be right. Carry on with your daily work for Jesus. Go about your Christian duties. Let us allow nothing to hinder us. That's what the devil would like. But we just got to keep going. You know, I had a church member many years ago down in Georgia when I was interning down there. A little lady. Been through a lot in her life. And she would say it to me quite often when she would come to church and I'd shake her hand. She said, "Pastor," said, "I had to get up this morning and give the devil a black eye to get here. He was trying to keep her from coming, keeping her in pain and discomfort, a lot of things like that. She said, "I had to give him a black eye to get here." Well, that's what we got to do this year coming up, right? Don't let the devil have his way. We got to press on. Jesus is coming. We got to prepare to meet our God. I love that statement, you know, in Hebrews, I think chapter 10, where it says, "He that shall come will come and will not tarry." You know, I love that verse, don't you? And then, of course, our final text here in the chapter, Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt among the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to God. So, you know, Jesus maybe says it best for us in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Make God first in your life ahead of everything else, and have faith to know that he will take care of all the rest, whatever we might need. So let us not forget our spiritual exercises, Bible study and prayer, church attendance, sharing our testimony, witnessing, fellowshipping, personal devotionals, family devotionals, we just got to stay strong spiritually and keep our eyes focused on Jesus, and he will see us through. So I know for sure, I believe with all my heart, that as God was with Abram, so he'll be with you and me in 2021 as it approaches. Let us seek the Lord and hear and heed and follow his word of counsel, his guidelines, and all will be well, whatever the devil throws at us. We can handle it in Jesus. You know, one other verse I really love goes right along, I think, with Matthew 16, 18. Again, in Revelation chapter 5, when John was weeping because they couldn't find anyone to unlock the seals on the book. But then he was shown a lamb as if it had been slain. And it says there in Revelation 5:5, that the lamb has prevailed to be able to open the book. That's the message. Our Savior prevailed through his years here on earth. And we're going to prevail as long as we stay with him. You know, as Ellen White say, we can never be lost as long as we stay with Jesus. And let him weave that robe of righteousness in our lives in the heavenly loom. So be of good courage. And let us not fear the future. We have no fear for the future, except we forget the way God has led us in the past. You know, so praise God. His word to us is, do not be afraid. I'm with you. And we shall prevail through Jesus. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings upon our lives throughout this year. We know it's been a rough and tough year on so many people, but you have been with us all, protecting us from receiving this virus and providing for all of our needs. We just give you honor and glory and praise forever and ever and ever. And especially, Father, we give you thanks as we have celebrated the Christmas season, remembering that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. And Father, turning from that verse to Romans 8:32, that if you were willing to give us your Son, Jesus, why would you withhold anything good from us? Father, we know that we are moving toward the final conflict and the great controversy between Christ and Satan, between good and evil, between truth and error. And so, Father, we can expect what we've gone through this year to simply be the beginning of woes. But we know there's light at the end of the tunnel. Jesus is coming. And when he does, all of the darkness and evil of this world will be forever put away and destroyed, and usher in a kingdom of righteousness. We thank you for that wonderful, bright hope that keeps moving us forward, Father. Help each one of us in this new year that's coming. Help us to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Let your blessings be upon us, Father, that we may not shy away from continuing to do your work, occupying till you come. Lord, help us to know exactly what you would have us to do to witness to others for the saving of souls. And guide us and direct us that we may always do your will. And one day, when Jesus comes, be able to hear his words, "Well done, my enter thou into the joy." Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us faith and courage and strength. And may we be faithful and true to you as you have been to us. Under your grace and the guidance of your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name.